I think that's where I find the problem with offsets is people go, oh, I can just pay $20 and then not think about it. Whereas this is like, no, I'm part of it and I'm seeing it and I'm actually like, you know, touching the plastic waste, or I'm planting a tree in the ground and I'm interacting with the community that I'm in.
Hello, everyone. My name is Magalie Rochette. Welcome to the Fever Talk podcast for episode 2 of our series on sustainability in cycling. On the first episode, I calculated my footprint for a full year of racing. I noticed it was pretty high, around 30 tons of CO2 emissions per year, which is about double the amount of an average Canadian. So now, what do we do with this with these numbers? I reached out to Protect Our Winter. So I am an ambassador for Protect Our Winters Canada. Protect Our Winter is a nonprofit organization that focuses on law reform for environmental issues and civic engagement campaigns. And basically, they help passionate outdoor people protect the land they love. And so I reached out to Protect Our Winters Canada, and they put me in touch with Natalie Knowles. So Natalie used to be a professional skier, and like all of us, she saw that the world was changing. She saw that the glaciers she used to ski on were now melting, and she decided that she wanted to do something about it. So Natalie is a PhD in climate change, and she studied climate science and sustainability with a focus on outdoor recreation, sport, and tourism. So she felt to me like a very, very, very qualified person to answer my questions. And so I think let's just go to this conversation and let's hear everything that I learned from Natalie. Thank you all for listening. This podcast series is supported by my partner, The Unscented Company. They make home and body care products, and their mission is simple. Basically, what they always say is less is more. Their mission is to simplify our lifestyles and reduce our collective impact. And they are actually the ones who not only allowed me, but also encouraged me to make this podcast series. I shared with them my concerns about my own environmental footprint, and I told them that I wanted to do better and I didn't really know how to do it. And so they really just encouraged me to start learning, because that's the first part if you want to improve. And so thanks to them, I dug into this topic and decided to learn. So this episode and all the episodes in this series will be supported by The Unscented Company. Check them out. They are available in Canada and in the US, and their products are unscented. They are good for your body. They are good for the environment. And it's really worth it. They're really good people. So thank you to everyone at The Unscented Company for supporting this podcast, but also for encouraging me to learn more about this topic that is so important. Can you introduce yourself and tell me, like, what is your role at Protect Our Winters?
Yeah, so I'm Nat Knowles. I am a PhD in climate change, climate science, and sustainability, and focus on outdoor recreation, sport, and tourism. And so with POW, you know, that's a huge overlap with what POW does, is bringing those communities together to take action on climate change. So I work with our science team and kind of are the bring together the information, the facts, and sort of guide the direction of our education and advocacy work.
Okay. And I mean, I guess like maybe we can start this this episode by addressing the elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. I feel like really guilty, and I feel kind of weird talking about this because I'm like, okay, I do care. I want to reduce my environmental footprint. But at the same time, here I am traveling the world to ride my bicycle, which is like a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make sense. And so I guess, like, what's your opinion on that? Because I know Protect Our Winter talks about that sometimes. Like, I mean, everyone knows the kind of, I don't know if hypocrisy is the word, but, you know, there's, like, there's something here. And I think, like, Protect Our Winters talk about that, whereas maybe it's not always that bad, or maybe it is. Like, what's your opinion on that?
Totally. I come from the same background. I grew up ski racing, and that's what brought me to POW. That's what kind of drove my awareness of climate change, was traveling the world and seeing glaciers disappearing year after year and having that same reflection on, well, what am I doing and how am I contributing to this problem? So I think we're ahead of the game in terms of, like, it's us being outside in nature and doing these activities that, like, gives you that connection and allows you to see changes that are happening, or, like, see the impact and start to care about it, which I think is kind of what POW's done, is really everyone's got that same story of, like, seeing what's going on through their activities of being outside, and then feeling guilty, feeling that pressure to do something. And I think it's not a bad thing. I think we need a little bit of pressure to make some changes. So it's not bad to have a little bit of self-reflection. And we're just trying to harness that into ways that are, like, actually effective to make change, rather than just feeling guilty and feeling, like, stuck and, like, there's nothing to do, and that, like, despair, like, that's not good. But as long as we can kind of harness that, like, yeah, we're all part of the problem, but we can all be part of the solution as well.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess, like, that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about, like, actual things that we might be able to do to help, because I think talking about it is one thing, but then, like, what are some real actions that we can take? And sometimes, like, yeah, I guess, like, what's your opinion on that? Because sometimes I wonder, is performance even compatible with sustainability? You know, like, I mean, you've raced in skiing at a higher high level, so I think, like, you'll probably understand. But sometimes, maybe capitalism is, like, the same thing, you know, but just in a world of business and not in a world of racing or sports.
Totally.
But, like, you know, when we're trying to perform at the highest level, it's like every percent count. And so sometimes, like, you're so obsessed with, like, wanting to do better that, you know, if it's, I don't know, 40 degrees at a bike race, like, people will buy, and I'm guilty of, I've done it before too, like, we'll buy plastic bottles so you can, like, have more water to, like, cool yourself down. Or, you know, there's even, like, in the pro teams, like, sometimes on their training rides, riders have a car following them for 6 hours on the bike for the full day to make sure that nothing happens in their rides and they can just, like, train without worry. And even if they have a flat, they can complete the training ride. So it's all about performance. But, and, like, you know, you shouldn't do that, but it's like everyone's doing it, and if I don't do it, I might overheat. And, like, you're still doing it.
Totally.
Or, you know, or capitalism, where, like, growth, 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 growth. But, like, how much is enough, you know? And,
yeah,
like, what's your opinion on that? Like, do you think it is even compatible? Or do you think we should maybe consider sustainability, like, in as much as we consider performance in sport?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And it's interesting that you bring up capitalism, because I think that's kind of pushing sports in an interesting direction itself, where it's become this really commodified version of these activities that everyone's passionate about, and everyone wants to, like, push their body and, you know, do incredible things. And I think that's the inspiring, incredible thing about sports, is, like, seeing how far we can go, seeing what we can do, that sort of, like, you know, underdog, like, that mentality. And then we've got this, like, capitalization of sport, where it's, like, sponsor driven and money driven and TV ratings driven. And that's kind of where I see some of the challenges, where sustainability is not being prioritized. But actually, what our research shows is that sustainability and athlete performance can be really compatible, in terms of, like, I studied primarily winter sports, but the same thing would go for summer sports. So in winter sports, we see, like, you know, they're choosing locations for these mega events that aren't great for the athletes and they're not great for sustainability. Like for our winter athletes, you know, having places with a cold climate is ideal. Having good conditions for the snow is essential for safety, for fairness, for people to be able to perform at their best. But choosing locations, you know, based on politics or based on TV ratings and, you know, where they've got sponsors, means they're often choosing these locations that aren't the ideal conditions for athletes to perform in. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that the same way with summer sports. You know, I saw a couple of years ago, they hosted the track finals or track and cross country, I guess, world championships in a place where they had, you know, extreme heat and they had to host the marathon at midnight. So, and that was due to like TV ratings and the people that had the funding to put on these events and kind of things. And so that's not ideal for an athlete to perform. It's like, you're never going to perform your best racing your event at midnight in 30 degree weather. Like that's just never going to be ideal for performance. So I think, you know, keeping stable climates, you know, having whatever sport it is, you know, tennis has started to have extreme heat, you know, shifts in what they're doing, but it's like choosing the locations, creating, you know, supporting sustainability so that we're not having these extreme temperatures or poor conditions for athletes and like that link, but it's on a bit of a bigger scale, I think, that those changes mm-hmm. need to be made. And you know, a water bottle here and there is necessary and not something I think that's too big of a concern. Obviously, I know like small actions all add up, but if we can kind of look at the bigger picture and create the situations where like you don't feel like you need that extra water bottle, like hosting events in those places where you can perform your best, where it's not climate impacted.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, I'm actually excited about that because I'll talk on the next episode with the UCI, which is the government body of cycling. And so it will be interesting to hear like how they see these things, because mm-hmm. I know they're aware and they're working on it, but it's like what kind of hearing their part of it, like mm-hmm. what are they dealing with? What are their challenges and what solution they see? So I'm excited to kind of chat about that. But also because sometimes I also struggle about the sustainability of like your job. So let's say like, because sustainability, there's like,
yeah,
there's a lot, you know, there's like environmental things that you want to do well and have the smallest impact as possible. But also like, also I would like to keep my job, you know, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. So you're like, okay, if I want to keep my job, like I do need to travel to these events. Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of part of it. But like, can I do it in a better way? Or, you know, you see like a cycling company, like how do I keep the job of all my employees? How do I keep my company afloat? And like as an athlete, like how do I keep my job? And so what, like, do you think it's, you know, do you think it works? Like what can you do? Have you seen athletes do things that are interesting? Like, do you think sometimes it would be worth mm-hmm. not going to an event if we feel like it's too far and it doesn't make sense? Like, what are your, like, what's your opinion and what have you seen in that?
Yeah, that's regard? Interesting. I think that you're not alone in struggling with that for sure. I think there is that athletes have a lot of power, like being public figures, you know, having fans that look up to you and sponsors that want to sponsor you. So, you know, there's that ability to make these choices and my feeling, you know, having done a bunch of interviews with different athletes and, you know, many of them feel imposter syndrome, but I think you have a lot of power to first off choose, you know, which sponsors you take on, and making sure they align with your values. And then once you have sponsors is pushing them to do good things. I think there's a lot of power in that. I think there's also a lot of power, like you said, within the sports organization. So coming together as an athlete group and making decisions. So, you know, asking not traveling to event one person or you and your husband, your team, you know, isn't going to change climate change. It's not going to stop climate change. But having a group of athletes come together and, you know, ask that the schedule be optimized so that you're not like, I know with lots of sports, it's like, oh, we're going to Europe for a week and then we're back to North America and then we're going to Asia and then we're going back to Europe. But like, it's not really like planned out in a way that's, you know, it could be highly optimized. I think there's some really cool research on like the NFL and like if they, how much carbon emissions could be reduced if they like optimize the schedule in the right order.
Oh, interesting.
Things like that. But then I do think there is an opportunity, like sports has been used in really cool ways for like demonstrations and that sort of defiance of, so I think just not showing up for a race isn't going to make a difference, but I think there are opportunities to like make a stand and not, maybe not showing up to the race is the thing, or make a stand in another way where it does bring public attention to that issue. Yep. And put some pressure on people. So, yeah, definitely boycotting is one of many different actions that I think athletes can advocate for. And we've seen it in many things from women's rights to civil rights and Black Lives Matter movements. You know, sports has been a really cool way to, you know, whether it's showing up with something on a jersey or not showing up or making a statement on a podium or things like that. Like sports has been used in really cool ways to make the wider public aware of different issues. And so I think there's like that opportunity as well, but just sort of silently, passively not showing up to an event, I don't think is, you're better off racing and winning the race.
You're totally right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. And then like, so if that's, And I agree with that. Like you're right. Like we've seen so many great changes happening in that way. And sometimes I just think like, you know how, I mean, I don't know. I look at the calendar and we used to have like for the sport that I'm doing, in cyclocross, we used to have 8 World Cups and then it was 10 and then it was 14 and then it was 16. And then it's like, well, how much is enough? Like it was great when it was 8, you know? Like, and when it was 8, every athlete would show up. And, like, each one of these 8 races were, like, the highest level, the coolest spectacle. It was, like, awesome. And when it was 16, to be honest, like, a lot of them, and that was this year or last year or whatever, a lot of them, like, it wasn't as competitive because, athletes themselves are, like, you know, and people were like, well, actually, I'm tired. You know, I can't, like, if I want to be good at, like, this one that I'm targeting, I have to skip a few. And so it had the effect that it kind of diluted everything. And so that's another question is, like, how much do we need? And do we need to add one every year? Or are we able to have, like, high-quality, fewer events?
I think that's great point. And I think to add on to that, having really competitive and vibrant local race circuits, I think, is really good for development as well. We're seeing it in skiing, but I would assume it's similar in biking, where, you know, there's pressure to travel a ton at younger and younger ages. But if we can actually just develop really strong local communities of sport, it'll actually enhance performance and enhance development, rather than feeling like you need to like get up and travel and make it to these World Cups, and then there's so many that it's not even, like you said, the best in the world. There's all these open spots and it's diluting the field, and it also just makes the sports less and less accessible. So I think that sustainability and like that equity base is like, you know, we're kind of pricing people out of the sport before they can even become competitive. And the goal of sport is to have all of the best people there and then win. And that's why the Olympics and these things that are once every 4 years, it's like you've got one shot, and that's what makes it special. It's like, can you perform on that day? And having a million World Cup events doesn't say who's the best in the world. It says who's the best on that day. And so I think it's better off to, limit that and have these really strong development or like, you know, trajectory to get to those areas where you've got to be really good on a local scale, and not have, you know, 14-year-olds no longer able to compete because they've got to be traveling back and forth, and they don't have the funds or they don't have the time or the parent support to get them there and that kind of thing. So it's yeah. kind of interrelated, that sustainability and the sort of equity and sport development thing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point. And so let's say it stays the same, because that's kind of out of our control.
Yeah.
But I did notice, you know, like in my own emissions, like a lot of it came from traveling, of course, and also consumption. Like the amount of bicycles that I need is insane. it doesn't make sense. So, but like in terms of like traveling, for example, you know, we hear a lot about offsetting carbon emissions.
Yeah.
What is your opinion on that? And like, maybe can we give, like, for those who might not know what offsetting is, are you able to like give a little description and then tell us if it's worth it?
Definitely. So carbon offsetting is where we kind of calculate the amount of emissions that we have produced, and then we try and compensate for that by doing something that will sequester the same amount of emissions back into the atmosphere so that we reach a sort of net neutral.
So would it be like funding a project, like funding something, mm-hmm. like you pay some amount that equals the emission that you did?
Yes.
To fund like a project of, I don't know, planting trees or something like that?
Exactly.
Okay. And so how does it really work? Like, do you think, I mean, I guess it's a money game, like going back to capitalism, like mm-hmm. if you pay... You know, the company that needs to, I don't know, like normally they would sell the trees to make money, and then if you pay them to not cut them, is that how it works? Like then they can stay alive? Like how is it?
Exactly. There's a whole range of them, and it's, you know, everything from funding a renewable energy project. So that would, you know, if it's renewable energy instead of coal energy, you're taking that amount of carbon emissions from being polluted, or it could be planting trees, so you're adding a source of carbon sequestration. And then there's more sort of like complex ones that are like maybe related to agriculture or community development or things like that.
Okay, but does it, I mean, I'm wondering sometimes, like, does it really work, or is it, it seems like it's patching a problem.
It's definitely patching a problem. It's kind of this like pay to pollute idea where like, oh,
okay,
I can just pollute because I can just pay to undo it. But it's not undoing it. It's two sort of two separate things. So you're still polluting and then maybe also contributing to something more positive.
Okay.
And then there's definitely a range of carbon offset projects and companies. It's a pretty difficult, I would say, sort of area to understand in terms of, you know, what am I actually paying for, and what is this company or organization or project actually doing? And so it's a pretty of a gray area in terms of navigating.
And but is it better than nothing though, or is it, or are there better ways that one could use their money to do better, or like are any other solutions?
I think I wouldn't say it's a bad thing. Like I'm, you know, definitely if people want to contribute to carbon offsets, definitely better than nothing. You're contributing to a good thing. I think if that's a path that's your choose, I think, you know, not necessarily just like clicking the box on the Air Canada, like I want to pay $4 to carbon offset, and mm-hmm. Looking for maybe a more local carbon offset, or there's a couple of companies that are just more transparent in what they're actually doing and what's the outcome of your support. I think also there is perhaps more value in supporting organizations that are just doing good work. So making donations to climate organizations or sustainability organizations that are doing tangible work, maybe community-based work around either your sport or your community or where you are, you know, like supporting like an actual conservation project in your area that supports bike trails and forest management or something like that is a little bit more tangible. And rather than some of these companies are just sort of like, you know, planting a tree farm somewhere maybe in like the Southern Hemisphere that, you know, maybe didn't got some other issues surrounding it. So I think maybe getting more involved and being more sort of conscious of where you're putting that support. But I think, you know, if it's pushing people to support something positive and sort of acknowledge and reflect on the impact that they're having, I think that's a good exercise. And then, yeah, I think there's maybe some.
Yeah. And what about, so I read about insetting, which seems to be like you doing an action that will do something better. So instead of like offsetting and paying someone else to do something good, like some people doing good projects there on their own. Have you heard of that? And like, does that kind of make sense, you think?
It's new to me. I was new when you mentioned it. But I think it's a kind of cool thing for sure.
So what I read about it, it's not much, but what I read about it is like, for example, have you heard about the SailGP kind of circuit? So it's like sailing Grand Prix, and like what they're doing is each team, so they have, I mean, it's kind of cool. They kind of embedded sustainability inside of their performance goals. So what they're doing is that they even have like a podium for sustainability. And for example, like the teams that are doing, like every team has to do some things. So there, I think there's 10 teams on the circuit, and they all have to do some actions, and they're ranked, like they have points in terms of sustainability things. So it could be like on technology, if they're using like innovative technology to have a lesser impact. They have actions that they actually have to do on site at each of their World Cups to help the communities that are welcoming them.
Cool.
And so they have point system, and if they're ranked in the top three of the point system, they get performance benefits. So let's say they have more time on the water to practice. Yeah, so they found a way to include sustainability in performance, which I think is like probably the best solution is for sports. But in terms of insetting, like what they meant by that is like, okay, they go to this community and they have to take some time of their day to create a project that will actually impact the sustainability. So for them, it was sometimes like, okay, we're installing whatever, a solar panel, or we're clearing this beach of all the plastics that we can find. So like insetting, that I think that's what it is, but that's what I read.
I think it's really cool. I think that's, you know, it's like our connection with doing these activities that we're passionate about that makes us aware and makes us interested. And I think on the same flip side, like taking action and physically being involved and doing the actions to offset or inset, I think is a huge benefit, and really like brings that connection back to like what we're doing and being part of the solution. And I think that's where I find the problem with offsets is people go, oh, I can just pay $20 and then not think about it. Whereas this is like, no, I'm part of it and I'm seeing it and I'm actually like, you know, touching the plastic waste, or I'm planting a tree in the ground and I'm interacting with the community that I'm in. And especially as we travel around, like, you know, a lot of these things, capitalism is generally quite extractive. And as we just travel places and race and then get out, you know, it is also sort of this like, oh, we came and used this facility, had this impact, and then just left without thinking about it. So if we can get involved, you know, whether that's, like I said, if you're doing carbon offsets, choosing a place that's, you know, close to your community or close to your sport or has something that you're actually connected with and like contributing to and feeling like you're part of. And then this insetting is like, well, now you're actually like involved in it and you're taking the actions. And I think that's way more valuable than like the money that, you know, $20 here and there or $100. Like it's being part of it and taking it. I think that's super cool. And then if you can integrate it into performance, whether it's, you know, companies having to report and, again, not just pay a fine, but like have all these employees taking action or have your team involved in these actions and then benefiting from it and, you know, having priorities because you're more sustainable, I think is incredible.
Yeah. And I think, like, and I think that's something, maybe, like, a mental shift that we sometimes have to do, whereas sports can be, like, a selfish pursuit sometimes, because mm-hmm. you're so involved in, like, your own performance and thinking about
totally.
All these things that you can do to perform better and kind of have a narrow focus. But sometimes, like, I think some actions are pretty small, but can make a big difference, mm-hmm. like, or a small difference, but at least you've contributed and it doesn't impact your performance. So, you know, I'm just, like, thinking of the I think it just requires, like, a mental shift and kind of some creativity, maybe a little
totally,
bit.
Totally, yeah.
And maybe a little bit of collaboration with the people around you, but it can be simple. Like, I've seen some people at our bike races, like, you know, how wrappers of nutrition are not, I don't think they're recyclable, most of them.
Yeah.
But there is a way to recycle them. And so I've seen some of my fellow competitors sometimes having, like, a bin. At their tent where everybody mm-hmm. who's racing can just go and drop their nutrition wraps.
Totally.
And then they can just gather everything and use it, because there is a way to recycle them, but it just needs to be, like, at some place special, which each individual won't do, but maybe, like, all together we can just, like, poof, and one person has to do it.
Totally.
So, like, that's a small thing that already kind of reduces the impact, maybe.
Yeah.
Or little things like that. So I think maybe that's... maybe more involved, and sometimes perhaps, like, that inspires also other people, whereas offsetting is, I think, like, you said it well, and it kind of helps clear it in my mind. Like, if you give $20, no one knows, like, it's done, and you mm-hmm. feel good about yourself, you stop thinking about it.
Yeah, but the goal is to keep thinking about it, yeah, and, like,
well,
keep
exactly.
being part of it, yeah.
Exactly, and, like, for me, for example, seeing my friends do that at a race, I was like, oh, wow, what can I do? Because that's a great idea. How can I be part of it? So it has the, you
totally.
Know, it had the impact on me. It might have the impact on someone else.
Yeah, and I think, like, in thinking of, like, for sure everyone's focused on their performance, but all of these things I generally find are, like, the more you, like, take action or, like, you know, you're inspired by somebody else, it's actually quite energizing to be involved in something, like, a little bit outside of yourself or outside of sport. And
yes.
I think the, like, the payback is huge. So, you know, we see athletes that are, like, getting sponsors because they're speaking passionately about these issues, or, you know, having, you know, contingents of fans that are like, oh, like, it's not only, like, a great athlete, but, like, what a great person. And so they're, like, following and valuing athletes beyond just their, like, ability to perform, and just a lot of energy, like, positive energy that comes from, you know, being inspired by others and then inspiring others, and it just being, like, this positive feedback loop of good things.
Yeah for sure. And now I know that you also did a lot of research in sustainable tourism.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, like, one of the things that I realized in calculating my own emission is that, like, hotels are quite, you know, they have mm-hmm. a lot of emissions, so, like, contributing to that is not awesome. But also, I started digging. I'm like, okay, what are the alternative? And I started to try to read about Airbnbs, and I think it was kind of a murky waters. Like, I couldn't really get a real response. But what is your opinion on, like, what would be, because that's, I feel like that could be, if there is a better solution,
yeah,
that's kind of an easy action that we can all take, you know? I don't care if I sleep at the hotel or Airbnb or whatever. Like, what
totally.
Is the, what do you think? Is there anything that's better than the other?
Yeah. So in terms of emissions, I think it's a little bit, it's definitely dependent, and often, like, in a region, you know, it's like, say you go to Alberta, Canada, the electricity is higher emissions, so anything you choose is going to be higher than, like, if you are in BC, for example. So
yeah, I mean, I did notice that, like, every country has kind of a, like, a rating, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, some of them is super high. If you come to Quebec, for example, it's quite low, actually.
Exactly.
Because the energy is renewable, so, like, that was an interesting thing to see how some countries are, like, hugely high and
totally. Yeah. So that's sort of, like, out of your control, and you can't really, like,
yeah.
You know, you're just going to be in a location, and what can you do? The one thing I think about often is, you know, tourism is there to bring an economic benefit to a community. And the cost is this emissions or the environmental impact. And so if you can kind of make that ratio where it's having the greatest impact for the community with the least, the greatest positive impact with the least negative impact.
Yeah.
So often I think the actual emissions from each, you know, whether it's a hotel or you're staying in an Airbnb that's in an apartment building, those emissions are going to be relatively similar. But you're saying, if you're staying at like a hotel that's like a chain owned by a company, like they're extracting that economic benefit from the community versus putting it into like a small B&B or a homestay or a local, you know, an independent local hotel. That economic benefit is staying in the community. So then that ratio of like negative impact to positive impact shifts, where you're having, you know, a net positive impact, hopefully. So that's what I often think about, is like, how can we, if we're traveling around, how can we benefit the community that we're staying in while having the least negative impact? So if we can support local businesses and local people that are working there rather than some of these massive chains that are just extracting the value from that community and taking it back to like a corporate office somewhere. I think that's a really positive thing to think about. And then at the same time, I think a lot of this, when things are smaller, there's way less waste involved on a bigger scale. So, you know, a hotel will have empty rooms sitting there and they'll wash towels a million times, or, and you know, maybe there's a little sign that says that they don't, but they will. And like, you know, little soaps that they're throwing away and all those sort of like frivolous things, versus, you know, you go to an Airbnb and it's like, at the end of the stay, they're going to wash the towels and sheets just like you would at home. And there's a shampoo bottle that you'll use a little bit of, and it'll stay there, and those sorts of things. So I think that on that scale as well.
And that's actually like, it's actually a fun experience. Like, for example, I was in the Czech Republic for our latest World Championships last month. And I mean, we rented like a small B&B, like a really, like a cool little house. And it was so fun because we met with the owners and they were so proud to show us their house, and they made a little fire. They gave us like a little local pastry that the mom had made herself. And it was just such a fun experience, which I think you don't get. Like, not too long ago, I also went to the Fairmount in Boston because it was free with my hotel points. I mean, full disclosure. Totally. So I went there, and you would think like, oh, it's a luxurious hotel, like you'll have a great experience, but it was so bad. Like, the person at the counter was grumpy. Yeah. They were not helpful. The room was not ready. Like, it was not a great experience.
And you could have been like anywhere. Like, you could be in like the middle, like anywhere, and it's just the same experience. It's the whole point of traveling is to like immerse yourself in a culture and learn from that community and understand it, try the food, try the whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a really good point that I guess I never really thought about, but you're right. Like, make sure you contribute more than you take away.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Okay. And what in terms of like traveling, because of course, like, sometimes you have to take the plane. It is what it is. But for example, the other day I was trying to book for a race that's in Toronto. So I'm in Quebec. And I'm like, oh, perfect. Like, let's see if I can take the train. Let's see if I can just make it as kind of low impact as possible. But then, so I have to travel with a bike, obviously. So it's not always simple. But still, I was like, okay, I can bring a bike on the train. There's the option. But then I looked into it. It was so expensive. It would cost me like three times more money to take the plane, to take the train than to fly or drive. And I was like, okay, I want to do good, but I'm also not a billionaire. Yeah. So like, how do I balance that? And is that something that you've faced, or have you seen like better solutions for things like that? Or like, what's your opinion on this?
Yeah, I have definitely faced that. It's insanely backwards too when you start to think about it. You're like, how can a plane be less expensive than a train? And I also genuinely don't understand.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely a balance, I think, of, yeah, just a balance of choosing what makes the most sense. And like, when you've got the opportunity to make a sacrifice, whether that's financial or like, often I find that it's time based for me, of like choosing the more sustainable option and being like, all right, well, you know, I can spend an extra hour or whatever, you know, taking the way that's you know, like just getting into a practice of not always choosing what's most convenient. Mm-hmm. And that there's often like benefits that go along with that, that we don't know until we kind of do them. And
yeah. Do you have an example of that?
Well, I have an electric car, for example, and yeah. I've driven it. Well, and often it's definitely not the most convenient. You're like stopped places for like a couple hours to charge and things like that. But you end up having like good experiences, and every once in a while it's frustrating because you're like, well, I just need to get somewhere, and you can't. But you're like, oh well. But you discover a great bookstore, or you like find a great restaurant that you like weren't expecting to. Or choosing a train instead of a plane. And, you know, for instance, like you sort of think, oh, the train's like I've taken the train as well from Toronto to Montreal. And someone's like, oh, well, you can take a plane and it's only half an hour or whatever. But once you sort of add in, you're like, well, I've got to get to the airport 2 hours early. And then I'm like in this other location, and you just get on the train and you like walk onto it 1 minute before it leaves. And then you like watch a movie and you can get up and walk around and like have a drink and like whatever. You find that it's actually like more enjoyable, or same with public transit, like, you know, getting to the ski hill, people like want to drive their own car and parking lots are full, and then you're sitting in traffic and blah blah blah. And it's like, or I was living in Colorado before, so they've got this like ski train that they had, and then they stopped running, and then they started doing it again. But it's like, it's great. It's like turns into like its own après bar, and you're like sitting in your ski boots and like every fun. You know, you're like driving by people in traffic, and it's like supposedly less convenient, but like there's all these other values that are like, it's more fun, or like you can go to après and not worry about like drinking and driving, or you can like, so
you don't have to worry about parking.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good thing.
So sometimes I think it's like, you know, we're just on this train of like, oh, I drive my personal car around, or like, oh, a plane is the fastest way and cheapest way to get there. And of course, sometimes those are all true, and like you need to get to a race in a day and you got to bring your bike, and like it's the only way it works, totally. But like when you've got the opportunity to just be like, oh, like do I have to do it this way, or are there other ways, and like maybe I can like choose the less convenient but more sustainable way every once in a while.
And you're right that sometimes it's more fun. So for example, when this season we had a race that was like quite far in France, so I'm based like in the Netherlands, and the race was in France but pretty far. And a friend of mine was like, hey, like she's a competitor, but she's like, hey, I mean, it's quite far and I don't feel like driving alone. Like, would you guys pick me up? And I was like, yeah, sure. So it was actually so fun. Like, totally. We drove the 14 hours together. And like, when you think about it, it's like one or two less vehicles on the road, because like she had someone else too. So it's
absolutely.
Like, and it turned into this fun experience that, after that, we pre-rode the course together. We had like just a fun time.
Yeah.
And yes, I guess we could have each had our RV and each had our space, but sharing was actually a positive experience. So
totally.
I think sometimes like, and so perhaps like communication and collaboration, like once you know, I mean, we're all going to the same place. Like it is all the same race. Like, well, let's, maybe we can help each other out. And
yeah,
sometimes like that might be a solution too.
Absolutely. That's a great point.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, already like you've helped me a lot. I guess if we finish on kind of a, I don't know, like more philosophical question, like, how do you see this? Like, do you see that there is hope? Do you see that we can do better? Like, I don't know if we can ever get to zero impact, you know, but what do you think? Like, is there, are we doomed, or like, or is there
I definitely have days where I feel both of those things and I flip-flop between them. But I think it's been really cool in the last little bit of like just having all these conversations are, I think, happening more and more frequently, and people are really like questioning the way things are and how they could be or should be. So I think that's really positive. Like, I don't think we've necessarily seen the shifts that we need in like the larger scale, you know, whether it's corporations or governments and things that we would like to see. So that's often, you know, frustrating, like feeling like we're individuals out here trying to, you know, not use a plastic water bottle, and then there's like a giant company doing the opposite. So that's frustrating, and that's where I see we really need to make the change. But I think the movement is happening and the wave is kind of building, and like seeing the progression of, you know, 5 years ago when we started POW, athletes were so nervous to talk about climate change, and they felt like they were like sticking their neck out there and, you know, getting wrecked by people and, you know, concerned that they'd lose sponsors if they talked about it or all this stuff. And I've seen this like huge shift in just the comfort level and the support from all around, people, sports, you know, just the general public, and the ability to talk about these things and really bring them up and really question how things are and how things are run. And so I think that's, this huge momentum that's building that hopefully will have, push a larger scale shift in how things happen. So I think that's positive.
Yeah. And then you mentioned like, you know, what we do on an individual level, like, and sometimes I think we get kind of discouraged by that because mm-hmm. we're like, why would I, you know, take care of my recycling perfectly if some big corporation don't care? But
yeah.
Would you say like it still does make a difference? Like we shouldn't be discouraged because it does, like,
definitely.
The way I'm seeing it is sometimes like it can kind of have a ripple effect. Like if you do it, maybe someone else wants to do it, and then suddenly the individual becomes like 100. Like, is that
totally? And I think you have no idea like what the consequences of your actions will be either direction. So you taking every positive action that you can take, you have no idea like how that will cascade throughout and how you might maybe something that's normal to you, like maybe even, you know, for example, your friend that does this rapper thing, that's just something they think, oh, it's just a small thing, but it's actually inspiring you to do the next thing that's bigger, or all those other things, or inspiring someone that's never thought about that to start doing that. So definitely continuing to do the individual actions and continuing to reflect on what the impact that we're having and how we can make better choices is part of that momentum building. So I think continuing that for sure is huge, and then pushing it into this, you know, bringing people together and pushing sporting organizations or pushing, advocating on for governments to put policies in, and those things, you know, happen later, but they need those individual actions and those.
I mean, that's cool to hear. And yeah, I mean, I guess like just to kind of finish, it's like sometimes I feel like when you play, I guess like sometimes life, we're like too deep into it as mm-hmm. a society, you know, and I think that's what's scary sometimes, is like if I want to play the game of life, if I want to be part of this society, I need to do things. Like I need to be, I need to have a job, like I need to, and for example, I need to travel for my job.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like kind of hard, but I feel like you've touched a couple of times on like taking your time and like living the human experience, maybe. Like you talked about it in like helping local businesses and working with local community and stuff, and totally. Those are actually like fulfilling.
Yes.
Sometimes more than just running after a goal like this. And
yeah,
I don't know, perhaps like there's a balance, like yes, you need to be part of this society if you want to mm-hmm. be part of it, you know, like you have to play the game in a way, and sometimes that's the scary part, but perhaps there is a way to do it that's more human, and that's maybe a little bit less about just being the best.
Totally. I think that's a really great point, and just being conscious of what we're doing and aware and connecting with the people that are around and sharing our passion, whether it's sport or climate change and sustainability stuff. Like I think it goes a long way.
Thank you everyone for listening. Thank you Natalie for your help, and thank you The Unscented Company for presenting this series. We heard from Natalie that there is some things that we can do on our own that can make a difference, but usually the biggest changes are made at the organization level or at the government level. And so in the next episode, I will be speaking with the UCI. So the UCI is the Union Cycliste Internationale, so the International Federation for Cycling. And when you think about it, in terms of helping our sport, they are probably our biggest hope, because they are the one that emit the regulation, they are the one that create the calendar, they are the ones that are making the rules. And so I decided that it would be interesting to speak with them and see what they are thinking about the environment. And is the environment, the sustainability, is that part of their plan as a business and in the future of our sport? So stay tuned for this episode with the UCI coming up in just a few weeks. Thank you, everyone, and have a good day. Oh, and also last thing, I mean, I mentioned a few times that the exchange, like being inspired by other people's ideas and what other people are doing, is, I think, can be really powerful. And so if you have ideas, if you have seen companies that do cool things, if you have seen athletes that do cool things, please, please reach out. I would love to hear about them and maybe share them in the next episodes. Thank you.